I noticed last week, though, that I was a little bit soft, and I don't know why that was.
There's a joke there.
This is the Citadel Cafe.
This is the Citadel Cafe, episode number 45, recorded live on Wednesday, December 5th, 2012. My name is Joel Duggan from StarCrossedOnline.com, and to my right is Mr. Peyton Francis of CardboardTreehouse.com. Peyton, how are you doing tonight, sir?
We're doing all right around these parts, yeah.
Good stuff. I haven't been outside in 2 days. What's the weather like? Is it December? Does it feel like December?
No, it feels like fall.
Yeah, because the last show we did was November, and all of a sudden there are 20 days left until Christmas.
Yes.
What the F? When did that happen?
Yeah, it comes on pretty quick. Yeah.
I would say so.
I've got my slips and my traps set, hoping to get enough squirrel pelts to make a jacket for the missus for Christmas.
Nice.
Had them all tanned and dried by then, so see how it goes.
Normally, we don't talk about taxidermy on the Citadel Cafe. Yeah. Normally, it is geeky sci-fi fantasy entertainment, whatever we happen to be into lately. We gravitate towards, you know, televisions, books, apps, and websites, but we're not myopic. We like to let you know what we like and what we don't like. This week, we have some news to announce, though, before we get too heavy into the show. We were tossing around very late in the episode last week about doing a Christmas special, and I have mulled this over, and I think it's a fantastic idea.
Yeah.
So, in 2 weeks' time, which is going to be the 19th, which is the last Wednesday before Christmas, we will be doing a Citadel Cafe Christmas special, and we're going to change things up. It's not going to be a general show about sci-fi stuff. It can only be mentioned if it's Christmas or holiday related.
Mm-hmm.
So, if it's the Star Wars Christmas special you want to talk about, sure, great, bring it on. But what we need...
Invader Zim Christmas special?
Could be. But what we need from our listeners are people that are interested in calling in and being on the show. This is going to require a little bit of planning, which is why I'm mentioning it a couple weeks ahead of time, because I'm going to need to either give people my Skype information or possibly have theirs so that I can call them at a specific part of the show. If you have something that you'd like to talk to us about, favorite Christmas book, a favorite Christmas website or geeky video, a favorite Christmas special that you like, or possibly even just your favorite thing about winter. Let us know.
Yeah. Or on the other hand, the worst of any of that.
Yes, well, anything you don't like. Yeah, things that you hate about Christmas. The Christmas special that makes you want to gouge your eyes out with icicles. Like, all of this stuff we want to know. And I think it would be a really fun opportunity to get some of the community people together that listen to the podcast and hang out a little bit. Mm-hmm. We are toying around with the idea of doing video. That doesn't mean that you have to do video. There will still be a Skype connection going at some point, so I might be able to swing that. It may only be audio, though, because things for me have been pretty busy lately, and I'm not quite sure how to hook up both at the same time. So if I can figure that out, fantastic. If I cannot, then it will be a standard audio podcast. That's it. That's all I have to say about the Christmas special, but I mean, Peyton, I'm assuming you're on board.
Oh yeah.
Okay, cool. If you'd like to let us know, about your interest in the show, drop us an email at thecitadelcafe@gmail.com. It's also the same username on Twitter. Let us know, if you're interested in being on the show, what you'd like to talk about, and we will certainly take the time to bring you on and talk to you for a bit. I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, the other news is a little bit more personal slash business related. Finally, this is a one hell of a story. I now have the ability to ship out the books that I printed 2 months ago.
Awesome.
Yeah. I really want to take a moment to apologize to everybody and thank you for your patience. For all the people that pre-ordered Star-Crossed Volume 1 on Indiegogo. Pre-orders are usually, you know, a few months ahead of time. I was really hoping to have things out a lot sooner than now. But between some delays ordering the books from Uline, and then UPS being just daft pricks about all of it, I was supposed to receive these boxes on Friday. Jocelyn and I had some time this weekend that we were going to, you know, label and stuff envelopes and get things, you know, on the way. And they didn't happen. The envelopes did not arrive. because they're called Jiffy self-sealing no-bend envelopes. So it's great for a book about the size of Starcross Volume 1 because it's not a box, so it's cheaper to ship. But there's no way that you can bend or destroy the book. Yeah, no, they're really quite cool. Next time you're over, I'll show you the dude. They'd be good for shipping artwork as well. The little watercolors and stuff that you do, they would fit in these. Anyway, they were supposed to be here, and I thought, okay, well, this fancy online thing lets me track my package. UPS says that it's out for delivery on Friday. Woohoo! Hooray! It does not arrive. Later on that day, the status has changed to left at the UPS terminal. I was like, well, that's odd. Maybe it didn't make it onto the right thing. Maybe that meant that it was out from the airport to delivery and is now in my, you know, in my city. Yeah, like, you know, there's lots of things that could happen. I went around looking to see if UPS delivered on Saturday. I don't think they do. But then it didn't arrive on Monday. So then I got on the horn with Uline. And I have to give Uline props because their customer service was diligent, polite, and they did the right thing. And they refunded my shipping costs because I did not get these until yesterday at nearly the end of the business day. So that was Tuesday, and I was supposed to have them Friday. So all of this time this weekend, not that I didn't fill the time with other things that needed to be doing, but this stuffing envelopes thing was something that was going to go a lot faster with Jocelyn's help. But now Jocelyn's back to 12-hour shifts and all this work and stuff. So now everybody that's been waiting for weeks and weeks for these books is now waiting another week for me to organize and get these things packaged and shipped and all this kind of stuff. So again, apologies to everyone out there that's been waiting. Kudos to Uline for putting their money where their mouth is and saying that they're normally a 99% you know, guaranteed delivery on time. And screw you to UPS for dicking me around for 3 days. Because honest to God, dude, that status changed from out for delivery to left at Uline at UPS terminal 3 times over the course of 3 days.
Nice.
It's like they just left and just didn't have time to deliver it and then just didn't want to or something. Mm. It was really bizarre. Really, really bizarre. So that's my week. That's been my funny internet story for the week is that it pays to be polite but vocal on Twitter when you're dealing with customer service.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure.
So what have you been up to? Anything nerdy happening in the Francis household?
Well, I've finally got my time machine working again. I had an error come up a while ago, by a while, I mean a couple months ago now, on my 1 terabyte hard drive, external hard drive I got, Western Digital. And I thought it was because it was getting full and it wouldn't back up again.
Sorry. Yeah. I'm trying. I was like, is he going to make a DeLorean joke here? You mean Time Machine, the Mac OS?
The Mac OS backup.
Yes. See, my mind went to Time Machine.
Yes,
I was like, is he telling this long, elaborate joke? Like,
no, the flux capacitor is fine. Okay. I just couldn't. I couldn't get up to 88 miles an hour.
I'm sorry. I apologize. Continue.
That's right. Anyway, no. It just wouldn't. The only error that would come up because Macs are so user friendly, you know, it doesn't really prompt you with any real detail on what the error would be. It just said, "Sorry, man, couldn't back up." I'm like, okay. So I tried it again. And I did a couple of things and tried to get it working. And so I just figured, okay, it must be full because my hard drive itself is like at the time was like 12 gigs from being full. And on my computer, and then my hard drive only had about 20 gigs left that was free. So I guess that's what I thought it was. So I went and picked up a 3 terabyte new Western Digital, and I hooked it up, and files could transfer. I partitioned it and everything else like that. But then the time machine would always stop working, and it ran 66 gigs in, and we just say, you know, sorry, couldn't do anything. So then I went into my user profile, and I selected everything, and I dragged it into a new folder on there, and about 66 gigs in again, it stopped, but it gave me this error 36. And I called Apple, and they said, well, we don't support external hard drives that aren't Apple, so good luck. So I called Western Digital, and those guys were just great. Like, they walked me through a bunch of different methods trying to fix it.
Right.
You know, individual folders I would grab would drop in, no problem, all that stuff. It turns out it's just a naming issue between a certain, like, some Windows files and Mac files.
Oh.
So you got to go into Terminal, and you got to go in and go, like, I think it's dash, like dot
a bunch space. Of code stuff.
Yeah, there's a little bit of code, but you got to put a space in and stuff, and then you drop in your folder, and then it fixes it, right? And I didn't know where it was, so I went through today, and I was just dropping in sections into a new file on the partition drive, and then when I got the error, I didn't haul everything at once. I just hauled in like little chunks, so then I backtracked and made the chunk smaller to find out what file it was, and then I just deleted the file. It turned out I had downloaded something, some program or something back in like October or September, and it was for transferring an audio program, an audio file, and mm-hmm. then I guess there was some code in there that the Time Machine wouldn't let you take over, and it was one file. It was one friggin' file that wouldn't let my Time Machine back. So I got it working again, but I called Apple like three or four times about it, and every time I called them, it was like, sorry, man, it's not an Apple product. I'm like, dude, I've got like five Apple products here. You help me out here a little bit, right? And it was very, very frustrating. So.
Yeah, I can see your side of it, but I can also see theirs. I mean, like, if you're having a trouble with their, you know, hardware not dealing with whatever third-party program that you might have downloaded in October, like, I can see them.
But they didn't even like try to help me diagnose. So I had to go with like searching through forms and stuff.
Oh, geez, yeah.
You know, because I'm still operating off of Leopard. I'm trying to go to Snow Leopard so I can upgrade further, right?
Yeah.
So, I've got Snow Leopard here, so now I can go ahead and do it.
Yeah,
so.
you would think if you called them up and said, hey, I want to give you money to update my operating system, but I can't do it because I can't back up my system. You would think they would attempt to...
Yeah, well, when I called, I said, you know, I have this thing, my Time Machine's not working, you know, with anything to do with the fact that, you know, Leopard's no longer being supported and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And the guy's like, no, you know, we can upgrade you. Like, so I end up buying a disc and he mailed the disc out and I got it in a couple of days. But he's like, I can't really help you out because it's third party. I'm like, okay, but can you just give me like a little bit of direction here at all? Anyway, it was just, you know, they're like, good luck. Just keep buying from our environment. I'm like, all right, man.
Yeah, I had good customer service from Apple one time, and I don't think it wasn't Time Machine or backup related, and I don't think I was using any third party stuff. I'm pretty sure my computer was not booting right, or it was restarting randomly on me, and it turned out that I had bad RAM. But it was a very complicated way to troubleshoot, because you basically had to be a hardware geek in order to troubleshoot it. And I did have to call customer service, and the only reason I think that it was so swift and easy is because I was still covered under my extended Apple warranty. So for the sake of argument, it was a $1,700 laptop at the time. I had spent the extra $150 for the extended warranty, which means phone coverage for the full 2 years whatever. That of course has since lapsed because it's 2009.
I asked them about the upgrading the RAM and to 6 gigs, even though it's recommended only have 4, but you can get away with 6. And again, he couldn't give me any.
Because they're not going to be able to. They're not going to be able to say that. Because if they say that and something goes wrong, like you fry something, then they're going to be. They're going to be liable. So unfortunately, they have to stick to their guns. I mean, I found the guy helpful, but I was undercover and I was within the Apple universe. So I don't know if I've ever actually had to call them for something where there might have been a crossover of things. I mean, I do have. I also have files on an external. One of my externals is still formatted for PC and Mac.
Okay.
It's not the one that has Time Machine on it. It's my other drive.
Yeah.
It's the one that I just put like movies and things that, you know how you get like digital copies of movies when you buy a Blu-ray and stuff like that? I put it on that because Jocelyn's got a PC and for a while there I had a PC. So it was one of those things where it was good to have... that format be accessible to both Mac and PC. But Mac, of course, like you said, will only do Time Machine on a Mac journaled drive. So are you updated? Like, did you fix it?
I haven't updated. Yeah, I basically spent most of I've been offline all day getting this thing going. So anyway, so that's taken care of now. So I'm going to do the update probably tonight when I go to bed.
Yeah,
I've got Time Machine set up and I've got everything just copied over to another partition. And we'll talk more about it after the show. We're probably born a hell of our listeners.
Well, I mean, I think we've got some nerdy listeners out there. Yeah. I'm not sure how many Mac users there might be, but I do have one thing that I will share with you, and I'm sure that everybody else will really appreciate. It is called Time Machine Editor. If you do a Google search for it, it's an application. It's just a small little thing, And it is, I believe, free. I'm pretty sure I'm almost 100% sure I didn't pay for it. And if I did, it was like under a couple bucks. I don't think it's available in the App Store. I think you can get it from their Time Machine Editor website. The icon just looks like Time Machine with like a little clock on it that says Editor. And what it does, it allows you to make the controls for when Time Machine does its backups more robust. So Time Machine, you can do like one day, once every 24 hours, you know, little segments every hour, all this kind of stuff. It drives me nuts and it slows down my system. So what I did with Time Machine Editor was like, no. Backup. Only backup the new files. Do it once every 24 hours and do it at 1:30 in the morning, because I'm going to guarantee you that I am not in the studio at 1:30 in the morning. And the only, I mean, the caveat being that you have to leave your system on, but it works during sleep. At least it does in Mountain Lion. Cool. So if you, you know, if you're one of the people that turns your computer off before you go to bed, it might not back up right away, but it will back up the moment that you turn the computer on in the morning. It'll be like, oh, we missed a 1:30 a.m. You know, would you like us to back up now? And if you don't have anything important, like if you're just checking email for the first half an hour you're there, the good news is that if it's only backing up new files, then it really doesn't take that long, and it doesn't seem to take that much for system resources. Cool. So I highly recommend Time Machine Editor for anybody out there that has not yet tried it out. And if it's a free program, whatever, if you don't like it, you know, no skin off your nose, you can just delete it later. So so what have you been watching this week?
Well, actually, went to the library, library the other day, and I picked up a bunch of movies and stuff for the boy. And we ended up getting those cartoons from Pixar.
Okay.
There's a bunch of shorts called Mater's Tall Tales.
And okay, yes, I've heard of those, yeah.
They are hilarious. Really, really funny. They're very well done. A bunch of them made me laugh. One of my favorite ones there is Tokyo Mater, and he ends up going to Tokyo and becoming a drift car. It's really funny. And in the background, there's all kinds of little homages and stuff throughout. So there's one section when he goes to a restaurant, which I think might have been like the Japanese version of Harryhausen's from Monsters, Inc., because the door is open for a second. In the background, you can see the car's version of Sully and Mike, just for maybe like half a second. Anyway, it's pretty funny.
Nice.
So, yeah, it's a lot of fun. And so, you know, I came out in like 2010, I think.
That's pretty recent, though.
Yeah.
When did Cars 2 come out? Same year?
Thereabouts, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, you can get it on, you know, they're on YouTube and stuff, and also on the Disney Channel and that, too, online. So, anyway, it's quite fun. I really got a kick out of them. Some of them were, there's one where he's a monster truck wrestler, a bullfighter. There's one where he's a heavy metal heavy metal mater is the name of his band.
Nice.
And it's really, really funny, because it starts off, they're playing like just, you know, garage band sort of stuff, but then at one point they during the actual chord session in the studio, the drummer's trying to hit a little insect, and so it starts turning into heavy metal. It's really quite funny. Anyway, it's worth checking out. It made me laugh. So And the boy loves it. So and the other thing I checked out was I saw this a while ago, and it got reposted again on one of the other sites. But Gotham High, it's a Dark Knight parody.
Okay.
And someone went through, and it's about 4.5 minutes long. It's only, but it'd be a great pilot for a TV show. They went through and they found video clips from different movies that all the stars of the Batman franchise, with the Christian Bale versions, have been in, and they've gone back to when they're all teenagers, and they're doing, like, you know, the romantic high school comedies and stuff, and they've edited it together, so it's like Harley Quinn is in this new high school in Gotham, and she's, you know, just talking about, it's like sort of like a Buffy sort of thing, or, you know, any one of those like Degrassi sort of stuff, right?
Yeah.
But she runs through, so, you know, Victor Von Fries is a clip from that movie Powder with that bald guy.
Oh, my God.
You know, and they got Heath Ledger back when he was doing some, I think it was 10 Things I Hate About You. And they've got Bane, what's his name? The actor who starred as Bane.
Oh, Tom Hardy.
Yeah, and he's in the movie Bronson. So they have that as him back in high school and stuff, and they have old Christian Bale stuff. It's really funny. It's worth checking out, because the more you watch it, the funnier it gets and the better it gets. So they have Anne Hathaway from The Princess Diaries playing Selena Kyle, right? So it's really, really funny. So yeah,
oh my God,
we're checking
that's perfect.
Out, so, and the link's in the show notes there, and yeah. I would recommend it. How about you? What have you been filling your eye holes with?
Well, we noticed a huge influx in content in Netflix over the weekend. We think it's the early, trickling of. Sorry, I just had a video ad pop up in my face and completely scare the crap out of me. Oh God, web designers, no autoplay ever. Anyway, sorry about that, folks. So we were looking for something to watch this weekend, and we were in the mood for some like sci-fi fantasy. We've noticed that there's been a lot of material coming to Netflix. Two big things happened with Netflix recently. There's a deal with Warner Brothers that starts in 2013, but I think we're getting the beginnings of it now.
Okay.
How I Met Your Mother is on Netflix now.
Nice.
The Big Bang Theory might be coming. Cool. We watched Pan's Labyrinth this weekend.
Yeah.
All of these higher quality movies that we don't normally see in Canada on Netflix. So Warner Brothers has a deal where their content is going to be on Netflix. But now also, starting in 2016, Disney is going to be having a lot of their content put on a Netflix. I'm unsure as of this recording whether that includes Canada, but Disney is pretty global, so I would assuming they were probably searching for as wide a release as they possibly could. A huge deal. It's like $300 million a year over the next 3 years, starting in 2016.
Wow.
And that includes all of the Lucasfilm stuff.
Nice.
Once that deal is closed. So there's going to be a lot of very cool content on Netflix, especially, I mean, like, I cannot wait to be able to sit down on Netflix and just go through the Clone Wars animated series.
Yeah.
If that gets there. Oh, so excited for that kind of stuff. But for some fantasy content, I introduced Jocelyn to Pan's Labyrinth. She really likes Lord of the Rings. She's very excited to see The Hobbit. So we've been kind of itching to fill our minds with some similar content. And I remember liking the movie a lot. And Jocelyn had never seen it. So it's been a while for me, and it was really interesting to see her have the same reaction that I did the first time that I saw it. And that it is a very good movie, but is not exactly what you expect. It's advertised and trailerized, I guess, to be very heavily on, laden with fantasy. And it's not really. It's got some, but it's a much more intense story about World War II.
Yeah,
and some stuff that was happening.
I've seen clips of it, but I haven't seen the entire thing. So.
Oh yeah, well, I won't spoil anything, but it's essentially about a mother and her daughter that go to live with a fascist Spanish leader. Whether or not, it's not clear to me whether he's part of the Nazi regime or not. I'm assuming he probably is, or is
sympathizer or whatever.
Sympathizer, etc. So either way, he's a dictator. It's no secret that he is a dick. You do not like him from the very beginning of the movie. And there's some very violent scenes that illustrate that. It's directed by Guillermo, I can't pronounce his name. Del Toro his name. I can never get his first name right, but Del Toro directed it. The fantasy stuff is very, very well done. And essentially what it is this little girl using these fantasy elements and these fairy book stories that she's reading to escape this kind of hellhole that she's forced to live in, with her mother who marries this dictator, trying to look for a better life for, her daughter, but not necessarily looking at what this guy really is.
Yeah.
And it was interesting to see Jocelyn's reaction being the same. She was disappointed that there wasn't more fantasy, as was I. But she was also, unable to say that it wasn't a good movie, but not necessarily what she was in the mood for. And that's one of the negative things about it, is that it's intense. It's not necessarily happy fantasy. It's got a lot of dark kind of undertones to it.
Well, yeah, it's not really escapism, yeah.
No, and that's the thing. And so we both discussed it afterwards, and that's kind of what we came to, is that it was, I like it because I had seen it before, but her first viewing was very much how I felt the first time through. One thing that is something that stands out about the film is Doug Jones performs as Pan, who is the satyr-like wood spirit that talks to this little girl, and he is the physical presence inside the puppet slash Muppet slash special effects shoot that they got going on with him. Yeah. There's a lot of practical effects in this. There's some CG stuff, but a lot of it is very puppets and slime and mud and very visceral stuff. And he does a really good job. And if you've seen a lot of sci-fi fantasy movies before, you might even recognize sort of the way he looks and sort of the way he moves, because he also happens to be the physical performance inside of Abe Sapien in the Hellboy franchise.
And he was also in the second one. He also played the Chamberlain or whatever with the big square head.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so Del Toro uses him all the time.
Yeah, yeah. So he's very interesting as a physical actor. He has a very unique way of moving. His hands are very expressive, and you can sort of see the way that he flicks his wrists and stuff. As yeah. Pan, you can sort of recognize, like, I've seen that before, and I couldn't quite register at first. But of course, same director for Hellboy.
Yeah, he's uber thin too. So
he is a very slim man. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, it was something that we enjoyed, and it's really nice to see some solid content coming up on Netflix. We're still watching some fun stuff like Archer, SpongeBob, which has always been there, but we've been goofing around with some stuff. So it's been pretty good so far. Yeah. I'm looking forward to checking out more, and I'll report more on Archer after we've seen a bit more. I don't really have anything else that I've been watching because I've been so busy. So nothing for either one of us on the reading tables. However, as we were mentioning there in a little bit of downtime, we've been listening to some stuff, and I downloaded the latest version of iTunes. And we had a split opinion here in the household on this. Jocelyn downloaded it for her PC, and I downloaded it for my Mac. And I really like it, and she hates it with a passion. I am not sure how much of that might be a little bit of impatience and the fact that they changed everything. I seem to like the new iTunes. I don't seem like it. It doesn't seem like it functions that much differently on a PC, but maybe it's chunkier. I don't really know. I don't use it on a PC. So, but I've been using it for a solid week now, and you know, you have to take the time to get to know it because they've simplified a lot of the interface. They've integrated the store a lot better. So not everything that you are used to is where it used to be. And if you don't take the time to learn, then it's just frustrating. So I looked up a couple of videos. They have a couple of helpful videos that they give you with iTunes. And I find it easier to create and add songs to playlists, which is much easier than before. The tricky part there is that I don't use playlists as much as I used to, because the last time that iTunes failed to transfer my library, which was last summer, I lost all of my playlists. Mm. So I was ticked. So I was like, screw it. I'm just going to remember what albums the songs are on and play them as I want to play them. So it's a little trickier that way. Or actually, I've gone back to listening to whole albums. You know, like I'll download a jazz album, or I'll queue up a classical album that I like, and I'll listen to that all the way through. The mini player is sleeker, but does more, including queuing up new songs, giving you some album artwork, connecting you with the store again if you need to be connected there. And the last thing is something that I thought has always been a huge pain in the ass with iTunes, is that the minimize button on iTunes always did something different. It always did something like make this mini player arrive, or the maximize button didn't maximize it. It just kind of made it sort of bigger. And now they've fixed that. So all of the minimize, maximize buttons on the window work just like every other window that you have on your Mac. But there's a separate button for the mini player, which is also, you know, assigned to a hotkey and very easy to use and stuff like that. So so far I've been really liking it. I don't have a lot of iTunes album art, so it is a little bit problematic trying to find albums sometimes. You do have the option to bring up the left-hand column browser, which I do from time to time, but I'm trying not to because I want to try and experience the new iTunes, you know, quote unquote, and see how much I like it or dislike it. So far, so good. I will let everybody know, because I use it for both listening to and producing podcasts. So I will let you know if it changes anything there. So far on the upgrade, there was no damage done to my library, no loss of data. Nothing there, so everything is a-okay on that side of things. So did you update, or are you still waiting because of your whole Mac?
Yeah. Once I update, like, I haven't received updates on anything in a while because they don't not support Leopard anymore, right?
Yeah, so. I mean, it takes about an hour to install Mountain Lion. It's worth it, But just if you're trying to do it during the workday, you might kind of
note
the kind of time it might take you.
Yeah, I spent most of the day trying to get stuff fixed up because I have no space left on my computer now. And I need to do some work, so I lost a fair bit of time today to that. So
yeah, I have a real problem with space on my hard drive as well. I'm operating with only about 20 or 25 gigs free, and I don't have a lot of storage space outside of it. So it's very tricky with heavier video files and art files to work around it. Because one thing I will say, Macs are pretty fast, but then once you get under that 20 gig left of space, free space on your hard drive, they really start to chug. That's been my experience so far. The extra RAM has helped, but its hard drive space seems to be a big issue. I'm really looking forward to the day that I can afford a new Mac with a solid state drive, and I think it will make a world of difference for all of the stuff. So,
yeah.
Well, this is normally where we would talk to our listeners via email. We mentioned the email at the top of the show, thesigilcafe@gmail.com. We don't have any messages right now this week. Same thing with Twitter, thesigilcafe on Twitter. You can send us those notes about the upcoming holiday special. If you're interested in being on the show with us, if you've got likes or dislikes about the holidays, geeky stories about Christmas specials, anything like that that you'd like to be on the show to talk about or contribute via email, then it would be great to have your content. If it is holiday related via email, we will probably save it for the holiday special, just so we have a lot of content for that show. And that's going to happen on Wednesday, December 19th. You can tune in to both The Sizzle Cafe on Twitter, as well as my handle, at Joel Duggan on Twitter, for more information about that show as it comes a little bit closer. So that brings us into the Internet Minute, and where we share our Internet picks, some fun things that we've been able to catch over the Internet this week. Peyton, what have you got kicking around?
I've got two little things, both of them pretty neat, I think. One of them is a website. It's a search engine for anything you want to look for with regards to Calvin and Hobbes. And it has a guy named Michael Bing Yingling. And so it's Michael Yingling.com, random. Anyway, the links are not Calvin and Hobbes. So basically you go in and you can search and look for any Calvin and Hobbes strip. So because this is pre-webcomics content, you know, it's kind of hard to find, you know, certain, like, you want to know what episode or what strip would have, you know, Spaceman Biffin or whatever, right? You can type it in and it'll show you through the archives, and it's all linked in and stuff, and it's pretty neat if you're into Calvin and Hobbes. And, you know, if you like webcomics and stuff we do, you should be into Calvin and Hobbes. If you haven't looked at them, check them out.
That's a neat idea. It's a fairly simple site.
Yeah, pretty simple. It does what it does, right?
Yeah, so. Well, because, I mean, I've had this conversation recently with Jocelyn, actually, because she was talking about going to work in the early mornings when it's now cold outside, and, you know, how your nose gets cold, and you start to, you know, then you go on the bus, and then your nose starts to run, because it's just, that's what happens in the wintertime. And we started joking about Calvin and Hobbes cartoons when he would joke about, like, his boogers freezing, or the snowman ones, where he would make those hideous snowman sculptures and stuff, and it would be really cool to be able to search that stuff. I don't know whether it points you to newspaper sites or just
the Y section there, just underneath the search bar.
Mm-hmm.
There's a little button that says Y, and I think in there it tells you where to get where they created it all from. It's from Connie, hosted by Marcolo and Andrews McNeil University. They hold the rights to Calvin and Hobbes, so
right.
It's basically an authorized site, I guess.
Yeah, so, okay, well, I'm realizing now, if you go all the way through, it connects you, eventually, if you want to look at the physical strip, it connects you to Go Comics.
Yeah.
Which is related to, or has a deal with Andrews McNeil, I think, so. Good, very cool.
Yeah, and the other thing is something that I think is pretty neat. It's an Indiegogo website right now, a fundraiser guy has going on, and it's called Stick and Find.
Mm-hmm.
And it uses low energy Bluetooth on this little quarter sized device, and is like the alien tracker proximity alert thing. It tells you how far something is.
Okay.
And it's got a range up to 100 feet, and it is a sticky part in the back. You stick it to your remote control, you stick it to your keys, stick it to your kid's backpack, whatever.
As they stick it to your child.
Yeah, and it works on any smartphone and Android device, and it'll track. So if you lose your keys or whatever, you know, again, it'll tell you how far it is, not exactly what direction it is, because it doesn't have the ability to do that.
Right.
But it also has like a virtual leash, so that if you have it on your kid's backpack or your cat or your dog or whatever, and you can set it to have like, you know, 20 feet, 30 feet, and if the kid goes beyond that, then it goes off.
Oh.
And let you know that the thing's moving away from you. And it also has a light on it, and it emits a noise. So you can have it so you can find it, you know, if it's underneath, if your remote's underneath the couch, you can find it or whatever.
Oh, the little quarter-size thing has a light on it.
Yeah, it has a light on it. Stuff. Oh. The battery goes up for up to a year, and afterwards you can change it with any standard watch battery.
Yeah, very smart.
Yeah, and you're saying one thing you can do, you can stick it on your suitcases. So that when you're in the airport and it's coming around, you know when it's coming around.
Oh, nice.
So I'm not quite sure, you know, the legalities of having that stuff stuck to your carry-on.
Well, I mean, if your phone was in your carry-on and you decided to use, you know, your iPad to find my iPhone, like,
yeah, that's true. Yeah.
You know, I don't think it would be too
different than that.
Of an issue. And really, if you're putting stuff in a checked bag, I don't know how well this would do going on the plane with you.
Yeah,
but if you've got your phone with you, which is fine, you just have to put that through security, and then this quarter thing is in or on your checked baggage somewhere. That wouldn't be an issue at all.
Yeah,
I mean, we brought a bottle of whiskey back, so I'm sure okay. If we can bring whiskey on the plane in checked baggage, then you know you can probably put a homing device.
Yeah, anyway, I guess these are going to retail for $50, and they get on the your Indiegogo thing, $35, you get two stickers.
Oh, okay.
And so they got 40 days left to go. They want $70,000, and they got 112. I checked earlier today, and they had 110. So they're going up pretty quick. But yeah. one of the funnier uses they suggest is you can stick and find in your wife's car. So when she pulls in the driveway, you get a notification to clean up your mess, so you can go wash the dishes before she comes in.
That's pretty funny.
It's just kind of funny.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a neat concept, you know, if you...
You gotta be fast, though. 100 feet isn't very far.
Yeah, yeah. Well, your free dishes thing, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I was thinking it would be really neat for a dog in, like, a leash-free park or, you know, a hiking trail that you've not been on before, that sort of thing. But at the same time, it's like, well, 100 feet for a dog, that's nothing.
Yeah, it also could be good, though, for an ex. You can stick one in your ex-girlfriend's back. And then if you're at a party and it goes off, you know she's coming approaching you. So
yeah,
you're like, okay,
you know
I need
there.
To get out of here.
Yeah, you gotta go
really
quickly.
Though, right? Your phone would vibrate, you jump through the window anyway.
Oh, man, that's pretty good. Well, I've got a couple of picks, and both of them happen to be videos this week. And not the usual source. They're not YouTube videos. I even looked for... the versions of them on YouTube just to see if I could find them for easy access and easy posting on the site, but they're not available. So the first one is actually something from my dad. He sends me a lot of videos. My father's retired and likes to email a lot of junk. I usually delete a lot of stuff, but this one had Transformer Car in the URL, so I kind of had to go check it out. And what it is somebody who has built their own robot, hooked it up to a doctored PS3 controller, it looks like, and it is a transformer. And we've all seen these kind of robot types before. They've got the flat feet, they kind of shuffle, and they kind of have to do this little like butt jimmy to turn around. So it's not really an advanced robot. But what really captivates me is how sleek and how well the transformation happens. It looks functional, but it's still enough flair that it looks complicated, even though it's pretty much the way that the toys would have transformed when we were kids, and very similar to how things transform in cartoons and stuff these days. With not the Michael Bay ones, but like the simplified animation ones.
Yeah.
And I mean, it looks like a lot of fun. I dug around looking online to see if you could buy it, and I found their website, and it's, of course, it's all in Korean, I think, or Japanese. Through a translator, you could sort of see that you could buy the video for $3, but they custom order them. So they're not like manufacturing these. It's just kind of a homemade thing. So if you wanted like a red one or a blue one or something like that for your kid, then you'd have to custom order it. So I don't imagine they come very cheap. Mm. But it's a neat little video. It's a good few minutes. It shows a lot of functionality of the toy. And no real clue as to how long the battery lasts, but it looked like, you know, probably standard remote control car sort of stuff. Mm. It's probably rechargeable. But it looked like a lot of fun. It looked like somebody put a lot of work and a lot of joy into making it. It looked like it was a lot of fun.
You know, there's you remember that mech that was posted a while ago there?
Yes.
Yeah, 1.6 million. I mean, this is the more affordable version, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, the fully functional one, right?
Yeah, yeah.
The other one, and I have to give a language warning here. I mean, we have ourselves listed as an explicit podcast, but this video has got some serious swears in it, so not safe for work. It's from liveleak.com, and it is a video from a couple of guys that do a show called Bubla Please. And they're basically a couple of thugs or actors that are doing a very good job pretending to be thugs, wishing everybody a happy Hanukkah. So Happy Hanukkah, bitches, is a little video that these two guys made about making some Hanukkah food and how they were about to clash on the street until they discovered that they were both Jewish. And it's Hanukkah, and it's the holidays, and it's time to get together and share and gamble and eat food. And it's a short video. It's very well done. Not normally my slice of comedy, but I just rolled out of my chair this morning laughing so hard at these guys. It's very, very cool. So again, don't watch it at work. You know, lots of F-bombs, lots of loud swearing, lots of offensive content. Not exactly religiously sensitive at all, but it's worth checking out. So that's at liveleak.com. Bubble, please. I'm sure you can
kiss
Google
my
that.
Tuchus.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So it's a pretty fun ride. Mm-hmm. Well, that brings us to the end of another episode of the Citadel Cafe. You can find us here every Wednesday night, 7:30 Eastern on starcrossedonline.com/live. Music for the show was composed by Kevin MacLeod, and the podcast is, of course, available on demand on iTunes and our website, thecitadelcafe.com, where you can also find our show notes. As I mentioned at the top of the show, thecitadelcafe@gmail.com, as well as Twitter, Facebook, and Google is where you can get in touch with us. If you like the show, head on over to iTunes and leave us a review. It's one of the best ways for the podcast to reach new listeners. And if you do so, we will give you a shout out right here on the show. Celebrating their 51st episode, The Gamers Inn is recording later on this week. So don't forget to go check out our friends over there at gamersinpodcast.com for details about their show times, show topics. And they are coming up on a big Game of the Year episode later on this month. So I was asked to spread the word on that as well. They may even be doing that on Christmas Eve in the afternoon as kind of a nice way to kick off Christmas vacation. So if you're into gaming, check out The Gamers Inn at gamersinpodcast.com. As I mentioned before, my name is Joel Duggan, and you can catch pretty much all that I'm up to right now on starcrossedonline.com, including my books, Starcrossed Volume 1, which is now available on the website because I now finally have envelopes and the capability to ship them to you. So you can buy regular or artist editions on the website. Regular editions are $10 and artist editions are $20, and they both come signed. So if you're interested at all, just check out starcrossedonline.com and get in touch from there. Peyton, where can people find you online?
Cardboardtreehouse.com. I update there occasionally. And Twitter, I'm on there. And Facebook and the odds and ends around town. So, yeah, that's about it for me. Thanks for listening, guys.
Yes, thanks
great
for
to
tuning
talk
in.
To you.
Always a good show. Always a good time.
Saeed, thanks for joining us in the chat room.
Yes, I forgot to mention our live chat room. And Saeed is all the way from London.
Woo-hoo.
Or England, at the very least. He had mentioned that he and I had been in email contact earlier in the month, and he said he wanted to stop by. But of course, there's a big time difference to London.
Yes.
A few hours ahead. So at least we didn't run long tonight, Saeed. You're not into like the wee hours of the morning, only the tiny hours. Are you a pumpkin yet? Is it after midnight in London? If it is, we apologize.
Pumpkins can't type, so. Oh, there we go.
Past 1 a.m. Past 1 a.m. Well, yeah. You have been listening to the Citadel Cafe at 1 a.m., where we are fast, easy, and cheap, but you can only pick two. I'm ready to go if you are ready to go.
Sure, bring it.